now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you on location from Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble servant, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and opinions, news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings, and welcome to the program. Busy, busy day today in what I've got to break down to you. I've had several news stories break late that I want to bring to you. Where to begin? Let's see. Came across this article from the Christian Post. And I'll try to put this on the website so that you, O constant listener, might be able to read. From the Christian Post, Rob Bell supports same-sex marriage, says he is for fidelity and love. Nicola Menzi is the contributor of this. Rob Bell, you remember, for those of you who followed the program for some time, a couple years ago when this program was just getting off the ground, Rob Bell came out with a book entitled Love Wins. And on this program, your humble correspondent did go on the attack, so to speak, and in fact contradicted the heresy along with several other voices in Christendom. Just my voice was one of several which stood opposed to the heresy of Rob Bell. He's a universalist. He won't admit it, but he is. Because after all, if love wins, God wins, and everybody gets to go to heaven, well, then what's it really all about? Here's his latest. Rob Bell, he supports same-sex marriage. Former megachurch pastor and best-selling author Rob Bell has come out in support of same-sex marriage, saying during a recent stop on his book tour, he's got a new book out, by the way, that he is for marriage. I am for fidelity, Bell says. I am for love, whether it's a man and woman, a woman and a woman, a man and a man. Former pastor and founder of Mars Hill Bible Church in Granville, Michigan, made the comment during a guest appearance this past Sunday at the forum at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco to discuss his new book, What We Talk About When We Talk About God. That's his newest book. Grace Cathedral is the Episcopal Cathedral of the Diocese of California and describes itself as an iconic house of prayer for all and is home to an inclusive congregation. The congregation's dean, the very Reverend Dr. Jane Shaw, moderated the forum discussion before a live audience. How do you get to be a very reverend? I can understand the doctor, but very reverend, that escapes me. When asked by Shaw if he was in favor of marriage equality, the politically charged term used by some who want marriage redefined, Bell said, "Yes, I am for marriage. I am for fidelity. I am for love. Whether it's a man and a woman and a man, amen and amen." I think the ship has sailed. And I think that the church needs to just, this is the world that we live in. And we need to affirm people wherever they are. The ship has sailed? Really, Rob? Last I checked, it hasn't sailed. Yes, well, this may be an issue which is hotly contested and hotly debated in our culture. It is a well-settled fact that in the mind of God, this kind of behavior, and that's exactly what it is, it's not an identity, it is a behavior. This kind of behavior is not something which pleases God. So what ship exactly are you talking about? Maybe, just maybe, Rob Bell just enjoys being the guy who gets criticized for his views. Maybe he enjoys it. I don't know. I don't understand this. I mean, I suppose that he's evolved, sort of like our president has. He's evolved his views, studied himself out of certain beliefs, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to find the manuscript for this meeting that Bell had here at the Grace Cathedral. Couldn't find it, but I found some audio that I want to play for you right now. This is Rob Bell, and I don't know exactly where he's at. There's not a lot in this footage which lends itself for us to understand or to know where he is, but he's being interviewed by somebody else, not Jane Shaw. This is a man. And there's a question in the audience about homosexual relationships. Hopefully you can hear the question, but you'll certainly be able to hear Bell's answer now. Let's cue up clip number one here. This is Rob Bell affirming his position on homosexuality. And go ahead, play the clip. So there you go. Yeah, I don't know. But there you go. The question, you know, they're in West Hollywood, and a lot of gay people apparently. And Rob is asked about homosexuality. What would you say to this person? Well, you know, I've had a gay friend, and this gay friend opened up to me about his or her, I think he said his, homosexuality, and that person is a holy person, still a good person. We just need to love them. Just gotta love. And believe me, I understand. I understand to a degree what Bell is getting at here. Certainly, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin, right? That gets thrown around a lot. But it's for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. But it's not, the verse does not say, for God so loved the world, period. This isn't, let me put it this way, it's not unconditional love. There's no such thing. That's a made up thing by probably pastors and theologians, a lot like Rob Bell. You're not going to find unconditional love in Scripture. If unconditional love was real, John 3:16 would say, "For God so loved the world," period. And that was it. But it doesn't. There's conditions. "For God so loved the world that He acted by giving His Son, and that we might put our faith and our trust in Him and be saved from perishing." Which I know Rob Bell doesn't believe in perishing and eternal punishment and all that jazz. Doesn't mean it's not in the Bible. Just that he has evolved, I guess. His views have changed. And so that's Rob Bell, now his latest thing. The powerful revolutionary thing about Jesus' message is, he says, what do you do with the people who aren't like you? What do you do with the other? What do you do with the person who is hardest to love? Bell responded. He's going back to this meeting that he had. That's the measure of a good religion. You can love the people who are like you. That's kind of easy. What Jesus does is take the question and talks about fruit. He's interested in what you actually produce, and that's a different discussion. So, you know, what do we do with this? Here's another very well-known pastor who's got a lot of light on him, very loud voice in the Christian realm, former pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church, one of the largest mega churches in the country, author of best-selling books like Sex, God, and Love Wins. What do we do? Those of us who don't have a lot of light shining on us. I'm talking about the limelight. I'm not talking about the light of Christ or anything. I'm talking about the limelight. What about us who haven't written best-selling books? What do we do? What do we do when we've got... Maybe you're a fan of country music, country singer and superstar, and professing Christian Carrie Underwood, strongly in support of gay marriage. You've got Lady Gaga, who's tied up in a Twitter battle. I think they're calling that a twiff. I don't, like a tiff. Anyway, Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber locked in this battle for who's got the most followers on Twitter. And Lady Gaga is known for the song "Born This Way." Where she, I don't listen to that kind of music. I don't listen to that song. But, I mean, "Born This Way," I think if you look at the lyrics, she's talking about, you know, being born with a certain bent, sexually speaking. What do we do with that? I'll break that down for you in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by Christian Book Distributors. Get all your Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices with CBD. You know, I've mentioned before on this program, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study. And I go to Christian Book Distributors for many of my needs in terms of good Bible study resources. CBD's got a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, books, both classics and contemporary, and, of course, Bibles. CBD is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. You can get a catalog. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for 30 years. I'm sure they carry some of Rob Bell's books there too. I don't know. But because they make the show possible, because I use some of the resources that I bought off of their website, they get a little bit of airtime. Okay, now, let's talk about this. Let's break some stuff down real quick. What if someone was born this way? Born that way? And I know I can already hear some of you, no! No, the research, I know. There's not a shred of evidence which proves that there's a gay gene. In fact, the majority of the research indicates that this is something which is nurture, not nature. You behave this way because of the environment, really your perception of the environment, your perception of the past, that really affects the way you... At least that's the way psychologists break it down, if I understand it correctly. But what if science came out one day with definitive proof that there was a gay gene born with a predisposition to homosexuality? I don't think they'll ever find it. For the sake of argument, what if? And no doubt your immediate reaction is, well, no, a guy couldn't do that. That's unfair. That's not fair that someone would be born that way, that God would make them that way. He could not be just if he did make someone that way. And they have all these urges inside of them and no way to express them, etc., etc. But let me just push up against that fairness doctrine. Go over to Africa. Go down to Nicaragua. Go to any of these third world countries. And start talking to them about fairness and what's fair. The interesting thing about fairness is it's incredibly unique to American Christianity. A lot of these fair. You're going to talk to people who are starving to death, whose children are dying. You're going to talk to them about fair. What's fair? No, this is a very American unique problem and doctrine. And as far as the justice, the justice of God, and if he's a just, God is always just. Regardless of what we may think or we may perceive about ourselves, God's always just. He's always right. Let God be true, though every man a liar. Romans 3, verse 4. But again, the argument as far as being born this way and having these urges, how fair is it? How just is it that God would create men and women with sexual urges and then expect them to control those urges? Oh, how unfair! How unjust of God to do something like that. By the way, that very same thing is true for heterosexuality. You know that, don't you? God has created men and women with certain urges. And even a heterosexual expression of that, God still expects you to be chaste. He still expects you to be in control of your sexuality until it finds expression in the only place which is proper for sexual expression to find itself. That's in a marriage relationship between a man and a woman. Period. All other sexual relationships, all other sexual expressions are a perversion of God's ideal. Homosexuality is not God's ideal. So as far as being born with certain predispositions, again, even heterosexual people are born with a certain predisposition. as far as sexuality. And God still expects them to control it, whether they get married or not. Even in the marriage relationship, God still expects you. I still have sexual urges as a man. But God expects me to express those sexual urges in the proper avenue, with my wife. Not with another person who's not my wife, whether male or female. That would be fornication. Sex outside of the marriage relationship. Whether that's hetero or homo, sex, whatever. Not to mention, this whole discussion about being born a certain way, whether we're born with a predisposition to any sin, murder, predisposition to theft, predisposition to alcohol and alcoholism and therefore drunkenness, God still expects you. Just because you're born with a predisposition to murder doesn't make it right to kill people through murder and premeditation, that sort of thing. Just because you're born a kleptomaniac doesn't make it okay for you to steal. God's word still speaks against those things. Just because you're born with a certain bent, a certain predisposition to imbibe alcoholic beverages to the point of drunkenness does not make it okay. God still speaks against drunkenness. If God's word says something is sin, end of discussion. Just because you were, quote, born this way is not some kind of license to engage in all kinds of debauchery and foolishness and sin of any kind of various shade or flavor. It doesn't make it right. Even if they find the so-called gay gene, which, by the way, I'm persuaded they never will. It's not there. They've mapped the human genome, and no one ever came out saying, ah, there it is, here's the gay gene. It's not there. But even if someone wants to present that argument, that's, I just broke down for you how you answer that. God still expects people to get a handle on their behavior, and that's exactly, it's not an identity, it's a behavior. You're not born this way, but rather this is something that is learned. And oh, by the way, that kind of behavior, homosexual practice, contradicts your built-in biology. Okay, so what do we do? What do we do as Christians? I believe Bell is onto something. I just don't like the way he gets at it. In terms of, God loves the world. He wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to come to repentance. And that's what we need to keep in the forefront of our mind. Homosexual people do need Jesus too. They need to come into a saved relationship with the Lord and Savior, just as we do, as we did, and we need to maintain that. So too, a homosexual person needs to come into a saved relationship with the Lord and Savior and maintain that through a holy lifestyle. And therefore, we need to be people. We should not have a mentality which pursues isolationism. A mentality which shuts the doors in the faces of homosexuals. I believe we need to communicate God's ideal, but at the same time, we need to understand that this will be a process. It's not just a dunk 'em and done type deal. Just as it wasn't for you when you had to overcome certain sins and certain temptations in your life. Ooh, you didn't like that one, did you? So we need to first of all engage. I don't mean go out and get engaged to gay people, right? I mean we need to meet these people where they are with the intent of getting them to where Jesus is and where Jesus would want them to be. Certainly, Jesus was in he was in meals. He ate meals with people who were the quote sinners of his day. Tax collectors, prostitutes. Maybe we should take a follow the example of Jesus in that regard. And seek to build relationships with people who engage in homosexual behavior. Build relationships with the intent of hopefully having them build a relationship with the Master. So we need to engage. Not embrace, Rob Bell. I don't think that's just you know, hey, let it in. Hey, they're gay people, so it's a free-for-all, right? But rather, it is to engage people where they are, to seek to build relationship with the intent that when opportunities present themselves, we will stand for and champion, not, you know, pound our chest and, hey, I'm right, you should, but rather to stand for and champion God being right. It's not, I'm right, you're wrong. It's, you know, God's right. And all I'm doing is agreeing with God concerning what He has said. And we want them to agree with God as well. Just as we have abandoned a former sinful lifestyle, so we desire for them to do the same. We need to engage, meet them where they're at. We need to build a relationship with them. And ultimately, if and when the homosexual person who has come to the knowledge of the truth, when they fully repent and when they are obedient to the gospel, we, with the angels of heaven, need to rejoice. We need to rejoice that another soul has come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. That another soul has been redeemed from the auction block of sin. That's the word I was looking for. There you go. Rejoice with the angels of heaven that though they were formerly effeminate or homosexual offenders, now they've been washed. Now they've been justified. Now they've been sanctified. And now we truly are brethren. You got it, Rob? I hope so. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say, and I do work to read those online when I get them. Also, you can like Life from the Pulpit on Facebook. Just search Life from the Pulpit. We're on there, and you can like us and get all of our news updates when we go live with a show or update the blog. Speaking of the blog, be sure and stop at the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, and 1 John, working my way through that. All there, all available, all free, all for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Also, check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org. For plenty of sermon audio there, also other links that'll take you to good Bible study resources. All there, all available, all free, all for you to use in perusing your everyday Bible study. And, as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.